Hello everyone and welcome back to the Cyclocross Social podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the sixth round of the X2O trophy which took place in Hamme. Maybe a record for the shortest podcast or something today, not much to talk about, but thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you for having me.
It was not the most eventful of days. There were pretty slim start fields. Most riders are focusing on Hogerheide, a single weekend before Worlds next week. In the men's race, Mathieu van der Poel put down the power early on in the race. Michael van Toerenhout was able to follow longest, but as has been the case pretty much all season, Mathieu van der Poel was the strongest. The order was restored. This time, no poles to bump into or anything. The win went to Mathieu van der Poel ahead of Michael van Toerenhout. Behind, there was a bigger scrap for the third place. Don van der Bos was in there, together with Niels van der Putte, Eli Isebiet, Lars van der Haar, Cameron Mason. In the final lap, Isebiet and van der Putte were fighting it out, but last lap, Eli Isebiet hit once again. Belgian champion took third place in his first outing in the Belgian tricolore. There's not really much to say. Van der Poel, strong overall. He said he still had some pain in his ribs, and I think most of the talk actually was about everything else. He gave an interview with a magazine in Belgium this week where he said that during that period in the back injury 2 years ago, he thought about quitting the sport because it took too long. He lost the joy in the sport. If there's so much talking about all the rest around it, I guess it really tells you how normal it is, how used to we've gotten that Mathieu van der Poel is a class above the rest.
Yeah, and I think that this season so far, how it went, it was quite extraordinary to watch. And Benidorm was somewhat of a surprise, I would say. And I think that many before the race definitely counted on Van der Poel winning. Then it didn't happen. And, you know, now it was kind of, you could already read a little bit in the media that there was some sort of hope, I would say, especially for the Worlds, that there might be something possible. But, you know, today again, it was a display of someone that is just not a little bit better, but just better than the rest. And yeah, I guess at that point, you were going to try and ask different questions in a way. And I think that we kind of know where this is heading towards in terms of how the difference being so big, him compared to his competitors. And I think that that is definitely not going to change in the next couple of races and also with the Worlds. But yeah, you try to hang on to something, and I guess that is something you can hang on to. And in the end, for him, it was a strong display. He made it a little fun in the race, waited it out a little bit, and then picked his moment and went for it. And, you know, there was no one that really had an answer. Van Toerenhout, very close by, but in the end, you know, that it was just not enough for him to be able to beat this Van der Poel. And yeah, it looks good. I think he is on a very good path if it's, if you talk about the sixth world title.
Oh, for sure. And if the Belgian national team coach, Sven van Toerenhout, is already saying we need to be there in case something happens to him to become world champion, then you know what the state is. For once, not weeks of building up the hype for the Belgian block. Even in the years where Van der Poel was like utterly dominant, like just preposterous levels of dominance, they would still hype up the Belgian block earlier. But this year, there seems to be no denying it, even for the people in Belgium. It's probably going to be for second place. And all of a sudden, Michael van Toerenhout, the nephew of national team coach Sven van Toerenhout, is looking like one of the main contenders. He's hitting his groove all of a sudden. Like, after the Belgian championships, he's completely turned it around so far. Some second place again today. Is he peaking too early, or what do you make from it? Because just like in Benidorm, it's a good ride by him.
I was very surprised by the way he was riding today as well. I mean, Benidorm was for me already a surprise, but we covered that. And for me today, or at least this weekend, was for me kind of a weekend where I would have loved to see some confirmation of what he did in Benidorm. And I would say that in Hamme, he definitely showed that. Best of the rest looked very good, I would say. You know, definitely not on the level of Van der Poel, but that is also something that you cannot really expect for him. But for someone that didn't really train in Spain, that stayed in Belgium and did his training here, he stayed the cold days out, and he had to endure those times. And still able to have a very good form. It's very surprising, and especially if you look at his season so far, it was far from good. Had a very good European Championship, and from there on it was a lot of bad races with a couple of okay ones, but it was definitely not as good as his last season was. And now we kind of see that Van Turnhout again, that we know is capable of being best of the rest. And, you know, Van Turnhout is someone that always finds something on a championship. And if he has the form, which he has right now to contest for a podium, I think that he can do very well there. So it's going to be interesting, but for now, definitely very surprising. And I don't think that you can peak too early in a way. Obviously you can, but especially someone like him, I think that it is going to be okay, and that also next week he will have a very decent form.
We will see. I think he is on a bit of a different program compared to Elie Isebiet, who ended third. I think Isebiet really loaded himself after those Belgian championships for Worlds. I just have a feeling Isebiet will be very good in Tabor next week. It's a good course for him, but at the same time it's like super difficult at the moment to really like judge who is where in their preparation and what type of training did they do. I mean, we'll come to Hoogerheide tomorrow, of course, but Zoë Bakstedt has stayed in Spain super long with Canyon-SRAM, just riding on the road, just chilling out, training for Tabor. That's, at the end of the day, what matters. Tomorrow and today and even last week are all irrelevant. It's about next week. That's when the medals are awarded. That's when, for a lot of people, their season is made or broken. So, whilst this is promising for Van Turenhout, I don't know. I've seen many times before that there's this rider that surges in the two weekends after the national championships and then plummets towards Worlds. You say like very well that Van Turenhout is not really the rider who you expect to peak early, but we have seen it before. Like in 2020, Manon Bakker was the outright favorite to win the women's U23 title. By far the best rider all season, was on the podium with the elites the week before Worlds in Ostend, and then in Ostend she was like 10th or 9th, something like that. That was not a good showing there. So it will be interesting. Of course, Van Turenhout is a name that we should keep in our minds. He's a force to be reckoned with, but the same goes for Isebiet, the same goes for Nieuwenhuis, the same goes for Ronhaar, both riders who weren't here today. Very briefly on that battle for third, it was a bigger group there with some, but then Van der Putte and Isebiet got away, and you kind of know if you go into the final lap with Isebiet, you're 9 out of 10 times not going to beat him.
Yeah, absolutely, but it was a good effort from Van der Putte, patient, but in the end Isebiet was just a little bit stronger and well-deserved, and a confirmation of that the form for him is also not completely gone, that there is, that he still has it in a way. And yeah, I mean, it was for him a very good ride, for Van der Putte also a very good ride, and for them it was at a certain point quite clear that they had to race for third place. And as you said, Isebiet, if you bring him in the last lap this season so far, I think his record is going to be quite good, probably maybe a 70-80% should actually be looked at. But if you go with Isebiet into the last lap this season, unless your name is Van der Poel or something, then it's going to be quite difficult. And you know, Van der Putte had to endure that as well, had to find out. And I think that for Isebiet, and also for Paul Sauza, to be honest, if you look at how they started their season and how it's going right now, it's going quite well for them. And they have two jerseys in the men's category. It's going quite well there. Bentveld is also doing well. So I think that those guys can be very proud of what they have achieved so far. And it can only be better for them. But for so, you know, the season is slowly but surely coming to an end, and they can definitely be very happy with the results that they have booked.
Let's look at the entire top 10 then. Issam, Van der Poel, Van Turenhout, Isebiet, Van der Putte was the top 4 as discussed, ahead of Van der Haar, who still doesn't seem to be hitting his best form that we have seen in the first part of the season. Van der Bos ended 6th ahead of Cameron Mason. Vizeur ended 8th ahead of Adams and Orts. Not really much to talk about from the riders in the top 10. The usual suspects, especially in a thin field like this. Mason and Vizeur are not really great days out there, but it is what it is. Outside of the top 10 in some, we find Vincent Baastaens, Thijs Aerts and Tom Mielse. Why am I naming these names? Because the World Championships are around the corner. The Belgian selection has been announced. Belgium is always, or almost always, the country where it's the trickiest to make a selection. If we look at the selection there, some we have the usual names, the expected ones based on the season. Van Turenhout, Sweek, Nijs, Iserbiet. Then semi-expected Vizure, Van der Bos. And then the final two places went to Adams and Mielse. What do you think? Do you think Adams and Mielse deserve their selection, or that any of Vincent Baastans, Thijs Aerts, Tom Mielse, or Lander Loeks would have deserved one of those places?
Difficult to say. I personally think that is not a bad decision by Sven van Turenhout. Despite the fact that I would say that Adams didn't really have a great season, it was definitely not a terrible season, and he was always kind of up there. And I think that it is also, in a way, you know, as a coach of like Sven van Turenhout, you want to have riders that you also kind of, you know, already know and that the riders are familiar with. And I think Adams has already had several selections in his career and is definitely a stable factor in a way. So I think that, you know, with him being there is definitely not a bad choice. And overall, I think, at least for me, I don't see something very questionable in terms of the decisions being made. You know, Wietse Mielse is definitely not a rider that doesn't deserve it in a way. Also someone that can be there. And I think in the end, you know, especially with these type of selections, you don't, you know, you need to have sort of a balance between the talents and the routiniers, the guys that are very familiar with the world championship, and try to make the best out of it. So overall, I think it's a solid selection, not really something that I can find in it that is questionable.
Then let's talk about the women's race. I fear that there's even less to say about this race, Issam, because Femme Van Empel was just a class above the rest. It's the Van Empel we saw earlier this season. The only big opponent for her here was Lucinda Brandt, but Brandt physically and technically did not look great today. She ended second, over a minute behind the world champion. Third place went to Manon Bakker, and that really says everything for the race, Issam. It was never close. It was pretty dull to watch. Van Empel was above the rest, but especially on the women's side, the X2O trophy has just been a tragedy this season. Van Empel leads 8 minutes on Brandt. Most of that time gap comes from today, or over half of that time gap comes from today, because Brandt skipped the Koppenberg cross. But in this classification, Puk Pietersen and Alvarado, who did one race, are in 9th and 10th. Verdonschot, who did two races, is in 5th. Kind of tells you enough about the state of the XO trophy, especially on the women's side. And I mean, I don't want to roast the trophy completely, because we'll probably come to that later when the UCI is also going to discuss the calendar and the format of the World Cup for next season. But yeah, it just was not, it wasn't a great race, and I don't mean to disrespect any of the people who raced here. Like, fair play to them for showing up, for racing, and I mean, it's not like the people who ended in the top 10 are people who are here on a holiday. Like, these are all legitimate riders, and we've seen them up there earlier this year, but it was just, there was just no suspense.
It was a beep race, but I think that it was, you know, if you look at the classification overall, it was, the classification has gone to crap in a way, because there is, you know, basically from a couple of races in already, there was not really something going on there. And especially if Van Empel decided to do every race, it was kind of over before we even, I think probably after Baal, it was 100% sure, but even before that, it looked like it was going that way. And like you said, we will go into that maybe later, because there is much to digest in this. But if we talk about the race, you know, if you have a Brandt that just had not the greatest of starts, and also quite quickly, you know, you make that decision, okay, this is going to be for second tomorrow, another day, Hogerheide, World Cup, I want to do well there, then you very quickly are going to make that decision, especially with the starting field that you have today, because you have the, you know, Brandt had the time to do that. Van Empel, the same thing. If you're leading with 30 seconds or something, then you have the time to think about what you're going to do, and you can take it a little bit easier. And it doesn't mean that they are having a Sunday cruise to the finish line, but you know, that 1 or 2% that you just take a little bit easier is already going to count in your, you know, in the whole recovery. Also, if you add up the next race, you just want to have, you know, with a double weekend, you want to get through it as good as possible. And especially with the Worlds coming up, you know, you just want to make sure that you come out of it very strong and with the least amount of sore muscles and everything. So it was a race that really quickly came on its place. I think that the battle for third was kind of interesting, but then with Verdonschot in the penultimate lap, having that knee fall, it was also, you know, the suspense there was also kind of gone, and Bakker got a very, you know, very deserved podium in a way. And yeah, it was, it very quickly fell in its place, and it was, in the end, it was not an attractive race to watch, and it was, in a way, almost difficult to watch. It wouldn't surprise me if there were some that, that did something next to it and tried to kill the time with something else next to the racing itself.
Yeah, I don't normally have it, even if there's dominant performances, that the race really gets a bit boring to watch. But this is definitely one of those where, for me, it just didn't do it. I don't know if it was just the sheer dominance of Van Empel, or if just the entire venue, like the emptiness of it, not really the most inspiring course here. Like, if all those things also factored in, they probably did, but yeah, the XCO Trophy just not really working at the moment, and that results in races like this, because all the good riders were in Hoogheide. They were training, or not all of them, but a bunch of them. Pieterse doing the laps there, Alvarado going there tomorrow, Backstedt going there. Like, a lot of the top guns are saving themselves for Hoogheide and not fancying a double weekend before Worlds, which is fair. I do think that it's still worth noting that Brand today did not look great. You already mentioned the start, but I think also last week in Benidorm, I don't really know what we can say there. And Brand got stuck in the second corner of the race, the 180 in the field, the first one. Rode a decent recovery race to fourth, but it's not looking all too great. But I have faith Brand knows what she's doing and she'll be there next week. You already went over Bakker and Verdonschot. And yeah, for the rest is some Vorst and Betsema, 6 and 7, it visualizes their season, not really much to go over. Behind Ribeirol, I expected a little bit more of Ribeirol on a course like this, but okay, it happens sometimes, but on this course I definitely would have expected her to be ahead of Verdonschot with a couple of muddy sections, although there was plenty of fast stuff to compensate for it. 8th was for Zemanova, ahead of Honsinger and Baroni, and I think that is kind of it, Issam. I don't know if you still have anything you want to point out from the race.
Well, I have to really dig deep for this one, but no, I think we covered it quite well, and we definitely can expect a better day of racing, I would say, in Hoogheide, and then from there on it's full focus on the Worlds, which, you know, with all the categories that we have there and all the racing that will be there, it's definitely going to be very exciting, and definitely more exciting than what we have seen in Hamme. And I think that we just have to focus on that and don't think too much about this race, because I think we will forget this race quite quickly, maybe even next week already. So yeah.
Well, then we will leave it with that. Just again, want to say that I'm not blaming any of the riders here for any of it. It's just pretty straightforward weekend of racing. It's also like the time of the season where for most riders we've discussed everything, like the surprising performances, the standout, the breakthroughs, the disappointments. I just don't really want to again talk about Betsema or again talk about Vorst, that both are not having great seasons, having their struggles for reasons we've said so many times already, that it would just feel like we're consistently hating on them or wanting to talk them down, when that's definitely not what we're doing. And to avoid repeating ourselves too much, I will leave it with that for those type of riders. And I guess next week we'll have plenty to talk about, this some with the World Championships, as you said, 7 races, 6 individual categories, long podcast, a big preview, always exciting. We're gonna go there to Tabor, exciting times, but first Hoogheide tomorrow. Issam, thank you for being here, and see you tomorrow.
Yes, thank you for having me, and tomorrow, new podcast. we go full in and hopefully very good results. So yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, as said, we will be back tomorrow covering the final round of the World Cup, which takes place in Hoge Heide. See you guys then. Goodbye.